Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 11 and just look at a couple, two or three situations with Abraham. Just bring a couple of things out of that this morning in relation to what he wants to say. Hebrews 11 verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. But by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were his heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So Abraham was called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance. And when I was just praying last night and this morning, I just believe God's saying, I've called you, talking to me personally, but also to us as Kingdom Faith, saying, I've called you to a place with me. There is a place of inheritance. Now, we are sitting this morning in our place of inheritance, you know, in this building, place where, that God's given us. We don't owe any money on it. We never have. And what this site represents is a place of inheritance, okay? So in one sense, we're sitting in that. We have an inheritance because of the history of Kingdom Faith and everything God has done. But also we want to lay hold of that inheritance today in terms of how God wants to outwork that today. But what I felt God was saying is, I've called you to a place to move into a new place with me. It is a place of inheritance. What is part of our inheritance? To see God move in the way that we've been talking about, to see him move really to impact the towns we're in, the region we're in, the nation we're in. It's part of our inheritance, and that we don't settle for anything less than God's best and God's purposes of what he wants to do. So it's like God saying, I'm calling you to go to a place, to move to a place with me, that it is a place of inheritance, because that kind of revival dynamic, the spirit of revival, the fruit that produces, and all of that represents. I'm calling you to begin to move into that and live in that in a fresh way. And then it says, he obeyed and went. I don't know what he felt like, but he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't know what it was going to look like necessarily. I mean, if you actually read what happens back in Exodus, remember, they with his father, Abraham's father, they were going towards Canaan, but they stopped in Haran, and they stopped there and settled there. And God said to him, you know, at one point, hey, mate, you haven't finished the journey. You need to go to the promised land, which is Canaan. You need to head off in that direction. And so on one level, even though the writer of the Hebrews says he doesn't actually know, he didn't know where he was going, on one level, Exodus says that God told him to get up and go to the place of promise, which was Canaan, and that's where your inheritance was going to be. And so in one sense, we've got some idea of what it might look like or be like to live in this revival life and seeing the fruit of that. But at the same time, we don't know exactly what it's going to look like, because God's not going to repeat the past. He's going to do how he wants to do it now in the future. So we've got some idea of the spirit of it and the heart of it and the dynamic of it, but how that's expressed and rolls out, I don't know. So we've got to go by faith. We can't look back and say, well, this is how he led us before, so this is how he's going to lead us now. Or this is how he did it back there, so that we've got to do it this way now. No, it says here that he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't know how it was going to work out. He had to have faith. He had to trust God and as to what that was going to look like. So it's a faith journey. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. I love that. That this spirit of revival, this dynamic of life, the promises of God and everything, and what that looks like, it said he made his home in the promised land. So there are promises that God has given, and he's saying, I want you to be living in, I want your home, how you live, with me, with one another. How you live is to live in the fullness of this spirit of revival, this dynamic of life. That's the home. That's the kind of lifestyle I've called you to live in. That's home for you as Kingdom Faith. Home isn't somewhere over here or something else or somebody else's thing. No, this is what I've called you to. And I want you to be at home with that, the spirit of revival, this dynamic of life, this supernatural release, this dimension of the Spirit at work in you and amongst you. Yes, this holy life, but yet also this life of joy and freedom and liberty. That's where I want you to make your home. That's the kind of life I've called you to. That's the kind of place. That's the promised land for you. And the fruit of that is taking possession of the land. The fruit of that is inheritance of people's lives, of families, of households, of communities, towns, cities. The 12 tribes went in to take possession. They worked together to reach the promised land. And they inherited communities, towns, cities. They inherited all kinds of stuff as they went. And it's like God saying, that's who I've called you to be. A people of inheritance, a people who possess things, a people who, in quote, in the right way, take over and repossess where the enemy's had a field day. And it's time to repossess from the enemy and it become kingdom ground, as in lives, kingdom families, kingdom households, kingdom communities, kingdom towns. We know that, you know, the whole nation's not going to get saved. That's not a faithless statement, you know. So we're not living in a dream that unless the whole nation gets born again, then we're not there yet. Because the enemy hates what God is doing. He hates every one of us sitting in this room. He hates the church. He hates Christians. And the enemy will resist us till Jesus comes again. Or he'll resist us to his dying day because he's going to be dealt with once and for all. But we know we're seeing this much, for example, or this much, but yet there is so much more to what God wants to do. So by faith, he made his home in the promised land. So he wants us to make our home in this dynamic of revival, in this life of holiness, in this life of joy, like a stranger in a foreign country. Some of where God's taken us and how he's leading us feels a bit foreign, feels a bit different than how we've been before and how we're stepping things, how we're walking out. It can feel a bit foreign. You know, when you go to a foreign land, why does it feel foreign? Because it's new, it's different. But once you've been there a while, you get used to it. Anything new, when you first step into it, feels different. I don't know when I said this the other day somewhere. But, you know, if you buy a new jacket and you put a jacket on, it feels different to the old jacket. You buy a new pair of shoes, they feel different to the old shoes. And you're much more aware, I've got new shoes on. You're much more aware, I've got my new jacket on. And you're much more aware because people keep saying, oh, I like your new jacket, or I like your new shoes, or whatever. And you're more aware, but give it 6 weeks, 8 weeks, you don't think they're not new shoes anymore. You got used to them. The shoes have slightly kind of changed shape to fit around your feet. And they've begun to fit you, and you've become used to them. So they're not so new anymore. And so what was new and a bit foreign here has now become, well, this is normal for me now to live in the newness of what I bought. And as we move forward in what God's saying, some of it can feel a bit foreign, multi-site church or some of the language I'm not using to try and describe that. But how we move towards that, or we need to still reorientate some other things around it. It all feels a little bit foreign or a bit different, or we haven't described things in Kingdom Faith like that before. We haven't used terminology like that, or we haven't wanted to raise up people like that or release things, or what we're looking to see certain things happen. We haven't, you know, but and it can be a bit foreign. Why? Because this is the promised land and it's different than where we have been, which was on a journey to get to the promised land. But now God's saying, you've just stepping into it. And so it's a bit different, a bit new. But it's got to be by faith, the whole thing. So like a stranger in a foreign land, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So even though they're going to the promised land, he was living for something eternal. He was living really for the return of Jesus. And that's what we're living for, the return of Jesus. And we want to do everything that he's called us to do to hasten that return. Verse 11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the sea shore. I love God the way he speaks here. He speaks what is absolutely ridiculous, which is impossible. You're past age, you're barren, there's no chance, it's impossible, this is ridiculous. The word of the Lord is so unreasoned. But yet God always speaks things that are so unnatural, so impossible, that it has to be God to fulfill it. And that's what God's been speaking to us. Ridiculous things about the 25-mile radius, about the amount of people he wants to save and add to the kingdom and be part of the church and stuff that he wants to do. It's nuts. It's ridiculous. But yet, he said, that's your inheritance. That's your promise. That's your back garden. That's what you're to harvest as a church in your own region, let alone how we're working with other churches elsewhere and how we can encourage and strengthen and resource them. But in our own back garden, where we cut our grass and do our hedges and make sure it is what it needs, in our own back garden of the 25-mile radius, that's our personal mission field as a church that we're laying hold of and taking hold of. And on one level, you can say, well, it seems we're a bit barren compared to the amount of descendants. But yet God's saying, I don't look at where you have been. What I'm looking at is what I'm saying. And what I say to you put seeds life into you. And as you respond to that, then you'll see that seed become life in many others. When a seed falls into the ground, it then multiplies out what it needs to do. So Sarah, he was past age. She was barren. But they were enabled to be, or he was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. So what was the key there? Faith. That was it. The key was just, well, God, if you've said it, we'll believe it. And there might be a little bit of mind-bending that we're doing to try and work out how some things, how we move forward. The Holy Spirit can give thoughts, ideas, strategies. But basically, what does God say? Don't wait to see it. Just believe what I'm saying. And as you believe what I'm saying, just move towards it. And as you move towards it, you'll begin to see it. But just believe it. So part of our question is, do we consider him faithful who is speaking? Saying, okay, God, we might not have seen what you're speaking about, but we consider you faithful, therefore we're just going to move towards it. And as we move towards it, you're going to fulfill it and you're going to do it. And so from this one man who was good as dead came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. So thank you, Jesus. Then verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. And then it goes on and on. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. And we know this story well, don't we? That God had promised him all this inheritance through his son, Isaac. So he'd already seen an incredible miracle that his wife was pregnant, or he was able to get her pregnant, and that she became pregnant. So there was a miracle there. But then he was prepared to put on the altar the promise of God, but yet undergirding that was this faith. Well, if God is speaking to do something which is completely opposite to what I think the fulfillment is going to look like, God seems to be saying, from what I understand, you know, you need to go and put your son on there who the promise is going to be fulfilled through, and you need to, you know, but yet he's like, well, if I do that, then God can raise him from the dead, because that's the sort of thing that God does. And as we go, sometimes I think it's a constant dying to ourselves, isn't it, in terms of what God says. You know, you read through the Bible and it's amazing when God speaks to somebody how before it's fulfilled, it looks like the opposite happens to what God has said. So Joseph has all these dreams, doesn't he? Tells his brothers. Some say he was a bit of a wally telling his brothers and his dad that, you know, he's had all these dreams and he should have kept quiet. But you know when God's spoken, you can't help but speak about it. He said, well, he should have had a bit of wisdom and it would have been all right. Well, no, because actually what you find out at the end of the story is if it's because of what he said at the beginning in terms of sharing his stories, it was only because of that that his brothers and his dad realized that this is who he is. But he has these dreams from God. The next thing, he's in a well and he's being taken into slavery. It looks like the opposite of what the promises of God were. He gets there, favor of God's on his life because he's actually walking in obedience to what God's doing, even though his brothers put him in a water hole and he ended up being taken into slavery. But he's still, his heart's after God. He gets there, favor's on him. He's in Potiphar's house. He's raised up, leads the whole household. But then the enemy comes along, tries to trip him up again. But yet he wants to keep himself pure, resist the temptations of the Potiphar's wife. And she's, you know, not happy with that. And he ends up getting thrown in jail. So now the opposite happens again. And then you get the baker and the... who are the two guys in the prison with him? The butler and the baker, isn't it? And the cook or whatever. And one of them, you know, they give him words and one's good, one's not so good. And anyway, he ends up getting out of there and ultimately ends up running the country. And we've just got to understand that, you know, as we move in the purposes of God, sometimes, you know, things can resist, things can look like they're not going in the right way, or there's opposition, or hang on a minute, I thought God said that, but it looks like this. And that's where we just have to keep pressing through. So it doesn't matter what that looks like, we're still going to go anyway. God is faithful. He who has promised is faithful and he will fulfill everything. All we've got to do is make sure we're just going in the right direction. And as we're moving in that direction, then it doesn't matter what comes against us, we will break through, we will see it overcome, we will see the victories and everything God wants to do. So in the same way, Abraham, in one sense, it says here, he never saw everything that he lived for. I don't want to say that, then we're not going to see everything that we live for. But we're certainly living for something that might take more than some of our lifetime to see. I don't know. But let's not just think, oh, well, you know, what's the point? It's like, no, let's live like it all depends on God in prayer, but let's live like it all depends on us in terms of the way that we live. And there's just such a sense, and just the last 2 or 3 months, you know, speaking in different places and just different situations, there is the spirit of, if I can put it this way, the spirit of revival, I would say, is being stirred in the church around the country. I'm not saying it is revival because it isn't yet, but, you know, there's the spirit of it being stirred and there's a hunger after God and it's... there's something fresh happening. People are giving more space for God to do things in their meetings and prayer seems to be on the rise. You know, in a lot of guys that we've had contact with, not just Kingdom Faith guys, but people that are outside of Kingdom Faith that we know and it's like, man, there's the water level of God is rising and that's exciting days, exciting times. Great time with the guys in Scarborough as well. Just Saturday, the presence of God during the day was just really powerful. Peaceful, but powerful. It was a different kind of day, but people really encountered God and people got healed, stuff in the afternoon, various things. And then Sunday, again, just people getting healed, God touching lives. Guy came for the first time, gave his life to the Lord and was just totally blown away by God. This guy had never been to church before. Lots of, you know, earrings, big guy. And he came with his mate and at the end he gave his life to the Lord and just said hello to him and he said, whoa. He said, with a northern accent, you know, he was like, whoa. He said, oh, never been in anything like this before in my life. He said, this was incredible. This was amazing. And you're like, was it really? Was it really that amazing? You know, in terms of, but it, for him it was. God revealed who he was and he said, I'm here, I'm coming back, you know. But it's great. God, first time he'd been, and God did a right old number on him. You know, it's brilliant. And so let's stand, Joey, and thank you, Jesus. By faith, Abraham, in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, in verse 11. By faith, Abraham, in verse 17. By faith, Isaac, in verse 20. By faith, Jacob, in verse 21. By faith, Joseph, in verse 22. By faith, Moses, in verse 23. By faith, Moses, in verse 23. By faith, the people, in verse 29. By faith, the walls came down, in verse 30. By faith, the prostitute Rahab welcomed the spies into her home, in verse 31. By faith. So we go by faith. It's got to be worked through love, but we've got to go by faith in the first place for that love to then be expressed. And that love conquers everything that stands in its way, because that's the power of God's love. So it's faith working through love. So Father, I thank you for the spirit of faith, the dynamic of faith that you have so blessed us with. Father, I thank you for that increase of the spirit of faith around here, that dynamic of faith in our lives. Father, I thank you that by faith, all these patriarchs, all these men and women of God, by faith, they took steps. They were living for something in their day that they didn't know whether they were going to see or not, but by faith, they went anyway. And it broke through. It opened up a way for the next generations to come into the promises of God and into their inheritance. So by faith today, we want to move forward in everything that you've called us to do, so that those coming after us, those that are about to be saved, the next generations of age groups, no matter who it is, that they'll come into everything that you have for them, because by faith, a bunch of people just like us believe that God would fulfill everything that he said, that we reason that he himself is faithful. So let's go, let's move. And so, Father, I thank you that as we move by faith, that it opens up the way for others to come into that, to come to know you, to come into their inheritance. So, Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that over these next few weeks, whatever we're doing that leads people, whether in worship, whether in prayer, whether we're preaching or speaking or teaching or training, whether we're leading an age group in some way or other, during the week or on a Sunday or in one of the evenings of the week, no matter what we're doing, as we are reaching out to people in the community, seeking to share the gospel with them, looking to pray for the sick or to see things happen. Father, no matter what we're doing, as we're maybe having a one-to-one time with somebody and we're hearing what you want to say to them, we're encouraging them, praying for them, strengthening them, no matter what we're doing, Father, I thank you for a greater release of you amongst us. I thank you for a greater release of your life and power amongst us, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you would enable us to move in the things of God more intentionally, more specifically, more effectively. I thank you, Jesus, that whoever in this room and others that aren't here today, in our leadership and in situations of ministry, Father, I thank you that whatever we're doing, Father, I thank you that we would step out and not just stay in the confines of what we're comfortable with or the confines of how we might think we're gifted, but I thank you for a greater release of the anointing of the Holy Spirit as we step out. Father, I thank you the anointing increases as we put it to work. So Father, I thank you for that dynamic of faith that is at work in us. As we step out and step towards what you're saying, there'll be a greater release of the anointing of your Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that you have purposed to do, you want to do, in every age group, in the church, whether Crawley or Horsham or down in Worthing. Father, I thank you for Faith Camp coming up. Father, I thank you in every age group, every meeting, every session throughout the day, whether in the morning, afternoon or evening, no matter what is happening, a greater release of your life, of your spirit amongst us. Father, I thank you for the supernatural. I thank you for miracles. I thank you for God encounters. I thank you for lives being transformed. Father, I thank you for a hunger, a passion, a desire, an expectation in the people coming. It's going to be beyond what they could ask or imagine, beyond their expectations. Father, I thank you for blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, people coming out of wheelchairs, cancers just being blown out of people's lives. I thank you, Jesus, for those who've had a diagnosis of death over their life, that they'll be released from that and live long and many years still to come. Father, I thank you. I praise your awesome name. Incurable diseases being healed and taken out of people's lives and bodies. I thank you, Father, for people being born again, totally transformed, completely set free, addictions being broken off of people's lives. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. As we seek your face, your hand will be at work. Thank you, Jesus. As we seek to be a people of habitation, but we live in this dynamic more and more and more, that you walk amongst us and there'll just be the release of God. Because you won't be able to be contained in any way. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.